Welcome to another edition of the Mexican Soccer Show. I am Wiesel Vasquez, foodmexnation.com. We are here another week, and good news, there's going to be a lot of football coming up, and we're going to be talking all about all what's happening with Mexican soccer. But first, saying hello to none other than our producer, Amy Lopez, is joining our podcast today. She's usually in the background listening to us, telling us what to say, telling me what not to say. But today she's joining us, and we're going to just go ahead and just with introduction here. Amy in Los Angeles, California, Hawthorne, where officially? What? Hello?
What? Do you want my address too? Is that going to work?
Can you give us your address, please? For those.
What's up, guys? Good to be on the other side today. Just saw Chicharito miss PK, so that's not cool. But happy to talk to you guys again, as always.
Uh-oh, the Chich missing PKs. It's over. Oh, man, I could just see the... Here
it
comes.
Oh, no, it already started. It already started in, like, fayo in, like, giant letters and stuff. Like, it's fun. Good times. MLS is back.
MLS is back. Jumping over south of... Amy in San Diego, mm-hmm. Mr. Cesar.
This is like a super like legit geography lesson. This is going very well.
Keep going from the airport down Figueroa.
Wow, this is how you know you're not from California. Okay, just keep going. Cesar, how are you today?
Doing you know well.
It wasn't, I don't know. Figueroa. Everyone always talks about the fig. I don't know.
Oh, who do you know who talks about the fig? Don't say everybody.
You are everyone I know that's from around. So that is why.
Well, there you go.
You guys got to keep going because I'm trying to look up the Copa por Mexico odds to try to prove Wiso that by saying that Tigres are the favorites. I'm not wrong for constantly choosing. I can't find the odds. I'm sure Tigres are the favorites.
It's really funny.
I mean, luckily for you, Cesar, you know that Wiso and I can argue in circles for like 30 minutes. So.
That's very true.
But it's really funny because our let's talk about what we're going to talk about. And then we start like, oh, this should be on the show. We should shut up and start the show now because it's good conversation. So that's normally what happens when we do our pre-work. Okay, all right. So Tom Marshall's not here. He'd already been mad. Like, why can't we start already and talk about football? So this is going to be a very entertaining podcast. Lots and lots of things to talk about. Running down with some Mexicans abroad, Raul Jimenez, the best player in the world right now, apparently.
Right,
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine, right? It's up there.
Done and done. Liga MX schedule now.
Liga MX. No. Well, we're looking as to why his name is definitely of CONCACAF, and right now all over the world, all eyes are on him. Liga MX schedule is out. I mean, it's going to be The men's schedule is out. We're still waiting for the women's schedule because, I don't know, it's supposed to be in August, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But a lot of people are saying lots of soccer on the men's side, Monday through Monday, all soccer all the time in football. Copa por Mexico semifinals are now set. We saw America 4 goals. Wow, didn't really expect that, but here we go. And let's see. Well, Chicharito just missed a PK. We have another Mexican in Real Madrid. For those of you who don't know, if you want to wait till the show, we'll let you know if you haven't been on social media. And what else? COVID tests. There's a lot of things that we can talk about. But let's jump in right away with Mr. Raul Jimenez. Has scored 35 goals in all competition. The best player in CONCACAF this season. And let's just go jump in. There was a stat in there that has been compared to Mo Salah, Cesar.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just it's pretty ridiculous when you really see how much of an impact Jimenez has had, you know, abroad. You know, he's had a part in 35 goals in all competitions, which is level with Salah. I mean, that's 25 goals, that's 10 assists. Granted that, you know, what's helped is he had a very strong start to the Europa League tournament, which has given him some goals and assists. But nonetheless, I mean, that says so much about how well Jimenez is doing. And it's interesting, too, just because, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of distractions right now, you know, in the world. There's a lot of, you know, more serious things to talk about than soccer. So maybe that's why we're not I feel like maybe we aren't bringing it up as much as, you know, we would have before in the past. But I mean, you think about the hysteria we had with Chicharito when he was with Manchester United. Granted, it was with Manchester United, so it was a bigger club. But Jimenez is, I mean, at least if we're talking about an individual season performance, Jimenez has already surpassed what Chicharito has done in any of those seasons with United. You know, it's just it's been incredible to see, you know, just how well he's done. And once again, he found the back of the net over the weekend. You know, it was off a penalty, but still, it's just incredible to see how well he's doing right now. And he still has a handful of games left before the season ends.
Yeah, I think it's cool to. I mean, the good and the bad, you know, we go right away and sometimes we can be a little too crazy. He's the best player right now ever. But then we kind of, we got to calm down. And then we go, well, it is with Wolves. You know, Chicharito did it with Manchester United. Or, you know, it was a PK over this weekend. But sometimes we just got to be like, wow, this is it. Like, it's okay to feel happy. It's okay as a fan to see one of our players in one of the best leagues doing amazing and everyone looking at it and putting a dollar sign to where he's going to go next. Because we, as in Mexico fans, we get that once in a while, right? Rafa, Chicharito, and then now Raul Jimenez. We get a little glimpse of Tecatito and Herrera, what they could do. But this moment of seeing him in the EPL and seeing what everybody's looking at, and at first it was, well, it's the people around it. Was it Jota? And then, you know, it's his team and his coach. It feels like someone's always trying to diminish what he's doing. But then when you think about it, when you look at the stats and you brought it up, I mean, there's nobody else right now that's doing what Raul Jimenez is doing. But it feels good. It feels good. Going over to Amy, who obviously, you know, as excited as all of us, except when Raul is playing Arsenal. I throw that in there. No, Amy.
I mean, Arsenal won, so I can say this with the whole heart. I can say this, you know, unbiasedly, because Arsenal was able to. But the fact that I'm so excited as an Arsenal fan, or Arsenal fans were so excited with the way that they were able to beat Wolves, is such a testament to how good Wolves have been. How's that funny?
This is funny.
How?
Because it's like if Raul would have netted like 3 goals, you'd have been upset.
I mean, I would have been upset, but then we expected Arsenal to come out and lose against Wolves.
Like, really?
You would, yeah, 100%. Wolves is a really good team, and I think what's admirable about Wolves is the fact that they're collectively good. I mean, you saw it in that first game against West Ham. As soon as Traore came in, it was just like this. You knew that he was going to find Raul in the middle, and Raul sure enough got that goal. Their entire like premise of working together is just really fun to watch. I'm not a Wolves fan, but obviously as a you know, somebody who follows Mexican players, it is really cool to see such a collective union around Raul, but then he's also trying to help his other teammates score. So, I mean, yeah, I'm happy Arsenal won, but it's super exciting to watch Wolves play. I mean, they've been kind of, you know, and after that loss, it was kind of like up and down. But then he came back and scored a PK this past weekend. So it's a really cool thing to see for Raul.
Sister and I have matching Wolves tattoos, by the way.
I was gonna say, but speaking of Wolves, I mean, it's just that's I feel like that's the big question going forward. Is that yes, we know that Raul is obviously killing it with Wolves. Yes, we know that, you know, that he's, you know, basically that he works incredibly well in that system that they have, you know, whether it be two strikers up top, whether it be him as the central figure with Traore running down the right wing. But the question is just if Wolves, let's say, if they don't qualify for a Champions League spot, if they don't qualify for Europa League spot, because that can still happen.
Yeah.
You know, does Jimenez stay? Should he stay? You know, if Wolves make it into the top four, because, I mean, you know, at time recording, they could still have a chance to qualify for the top four and qualify for the Champions League. Does that then mean that Wolves will then spend not only keep Jimenez and keep Traore, but spend more money and have even more players surrounding him, even like he make him even better? I think there are a lot of questions right now, especially after we saw what happened with Man City earlier today because of the court ruling regarding their spot in the Champions League. Because initially, Man City, you know, they weren't supposed to be in the next Champions League tournament. that court hearing, there was an appeals that overturned that. So as opposed to first, third, fourth, and fifth qualifying for the Champions League, that now means it's just a top four. And right now, Wolves are in sixth place, and they're 4 points behind a spot in the top four. So I think that's the thing you got to keep an eye on now, too, because I think that, and I don't think it's that ridiculous to say that, I think that where Wolves finish in the EPL table will more than likely dictate what's going to happen regarding Raul's future. Because if you qualify for that top four, of course you'll want to hold on to arguably your best player. If you don't qualify for the Europa League or the Champions League, maybe you're looking to sell, you know, some of that top talent. So that's the big thing to keep an eye on now is, and Wolves in their last three games, where are they going to finish? And maybe even that final game, which is supposed to be against Chelsea, if Chelsea drop points and if Wolves continue to get wins, that game could potentially decide which one of those two qualifies for the Champions League. So who knows? But I think that's the thing to keep an eye on now. You know, we know that Jimenez is an excellent striker. We know that he's a complete forward. We've been seeing that recently. But where do Wolves finish, and what does that mean for Jimenez? That's the next question.
Do you take Wolves really quick, Amy? Do you take Wolves getting that fourth spot, staying? I mean, Jimenez gets the fourth spot and stays with Wolves in the Champions League, or does he leave and not go to Champions League and goes to like Manchester United in Europa League?
I don't know. Go ahead, Amy.
I think the other issue with Raul is just how long it took him to get to a place where he is the kind of player he is with Wolves. I mean, we've talked about it a lot on this pod where he's always been a talented player. It was just a matter of making the system work for him or giving him the ability to do that. So, yeah, of course, Wolves also has to think of the investment and getting that return back. But as a player, what are the chances that you're going to find something like this again? Like, obviously, of course, the ultimate goal for any player is to end up going to a big team or bigger team. But then also, what if you go to that big team? We've seen him at big teams and just end up not getting minutes.
Yeah, and it's a risk, too, because especially, I mean, if you think about it from Jimenez's perspective, and you brought it up there, I mean, it wasn't like he found, like, immediate success in Europe. Things that Leti didn't exactly work out. Benfica, even though he was an incredible player off the bench, he wasn't getting, you know, regular starting roles, and he was out there for, like, 4 years. So why, at the same time, too, why should Raul potentially give up this place where he's a guaranteed starter for an EPL team that is on the top half of the table? You know, this isn't an EPL team that's, you know, fighting relegation. This is even a mid-table team. This is a team that's looking for those European spots. So at the same time, after all he's worked, you know, to get to this point, why should he leave it? But then again, I don't know. If it's a very, very nice contract with Juve or Real Madrid, I mean, or Manchester United, you know, obviously that would be very, very appealing for him as well. And you would understand that.
I say he stays in EPL. Like, it's working for him. Everybody's seeing him. The pace, I think he stays there. I think that's the question. Like when we said, does he stay in Wolves? But in Arsenal, Manchester United, even Arsenal, right? Manchester United with money come in and it's going to look attractive regardless if you got to find a fighting spot. Wolves play Burnley on Wednesday. Then they play Crystal Palace on Monday and Wolves Chelsea on Sunday, the following Sunday. So three more games, very important games. That Wolves Chelsea is going to be, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see where it goes.
Could potentially define where Wolves are going to finish, you know, and obviously you got to keep an eye on how United, how Leicester do, how Chelsea do, because they're only just a few points away from them, and also keep an eye on the teams that are just below Wolves, because there's no guarantee they're going to have a Europa League spot. I mean, Sheffield right behind them, Tottenham right behind them, to an extent, Arsenal and Burnley, even though it looks very unlikely, but I mean, it's not a diss towards Arsenal, it's just being realistic, you know, but like...
Don't give any hope to Arsenal, just don't. Like, yeah. No, just assume no.
It's close, though.
I mean, and that's why I was so mad. I was like, Arsenal, you're going to choke. Why are you even taking points away from...
Why are you watching Arsenal games? We talked about this already. Don't watch Arsenal games. I didn't even ask you to watch it.
I wasn't watching it for Arsenal. I was watching it for
Jimenez. No, don't watch it.
Exactly. And they won.
That's an anomaly. Just don't watch Arsenal games. Don't even think about Arsenal games. We've already had this.
I was an Arsenal fan before you were. Calm down.
You're like a circumstantial EPL fan in general.
I just go with it. Anyway, we can keep arguing about this. All right. What happens? How many games? 3 games left.
Yeah. I know, Amy, what do you think?
It's like Sessa said, there's just so many random factors that can contribute to this at this point. You can't determine what's going to happen this week until something else happens. It's tough. I don't know, especially like Sessa was saying, especially given what decision was made for Man City, it makes it that much tougher. I think if you pull Man City out of the picture, you get a little bit more optimistic about their chances. But right now, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough, and I think they're going to narrowly miss out on that Champions League spot. I think they're going to, they've had a good season nonetheless. You know, I feel like what Jimenez has done, what Wolves have done, is very, very impressive, especially when you consider what they've done before in the past. But here's what I'm going to say. I think they're going to fail to qualify for the Champions League through the EPL, but I'm going to say they're one of the strongest contenders to win the Europa League this season, and they're going to get a spot in the Champions League thanks to them winning the Europa League. That's my wild prediction of the day, is that they'll get a spot through winning the Europa League this season.
Who are they going to face in the Europa League? I'm so lost because of this huge break.
Yeah, dude, me too. I had to
figure out, like, I'm like, is Valencia in it? Like, it feels like Villarreal is always in the final.
That is true. Though. I mean, it's just like, I mean, that was a conversation everybody was having as Wolves were making their way through the group stage and as Wolves were starting the knockout round. I just looked up right now and look at the teams again. I would say they have a decent chance. Yeah, you have some heavy hitters like Sevilla, Roma, you know, Milan, Bayer Leverkusen. You have Manchester United there too. But I don't know. I'd put my money on Wolves, and I think they're going to qualify for the Champions League through that. And I think the final's supposed to be, because right now they're in the round of 16, and if they do qualify for the final, it's supposed to be in August 21st.
Okay. That'd be great, man. That'd be great.
I love it.
Raul Jimenez. All right. Switch over to this side of the world, Liga MX. The schedule is out. Thursday, men's schedule is out, but let's just stop right there. What is going on? Amy, the women's schedule was supposed to be also at the end of July, and they moved it to August, but no schedule's come out yet for it.
Yeah,
everyone's just kind of like, what's going on?
Yeah, the biggest thing that created the postponement, I can't remember if it was Cruz Azul or which team had like a big chunk of players that tested positive again. So there was like, there's no way that this can happen in what technically was supposed to happen like in a week and a half or something like that. And then, yeah, they postponed it to mid-August. Men's came out yesterday and we're all just kind of wondering, okay, what about the women's side? You know, I think it was Melissa who had the best tweet today, who had a Gareth Bale looking through something, and she's like trying to search for any information on the Liga MX Feminine schedule. So I think like some of our good friends within the Liga MX Femenil were like asking sources and, you know, just trying to dig into what was going on with their schedule. Yeah. And everybody was basically like, we don't know except the start date for the season. So yeah, that's fun.
And that's the unfortunate thing too, is that like, I mean, yeah, I think fans can feel both ways. And we're going to talk about a little bit about the Liga MX schedule for the men, but I feel happy that the men's schedule is now going to be spread out, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But at the same time, you also feel a little disappointed because you think, oof, is this also going to once again steal some attention away from the women's side of the game? Because because at first I wasn't entirely that happy about seeing like Monday night games or some of the odd scheduling that they had for Liga MX Feminine.
Do you not watch Liga MX Feminine? That's our bread and butter, Sasad.
That was the initial Monday night football, you know, in pro soccer in Mexico. But I think the issue now is that is a new men's schedule going to steal attention away from the women's side, you know? And it's unfortunate, and especially when, once again, we've talked about this in previous episodes, but Liga MX teams are losing money. That's a given. That's a reason why we were going to talk about it again once again a little bit. Are we seeing a lot of those Clasicos they're in the latter part of the Liga MX schedule, because Liga MX teams want to make up that lost money that they haven't been able to get for obvious reasons. So what does that mean for the women's team? Because you'd imagine a lot of these men's teams are probably not going to prioritize the women's side over their men. So it's going to be difficult for them, and hopefully we could still give it a lot of well deserved attention to the women's side. And yeah, like Amy said, let's get the schedule out there. It is also a little worrisome to not see the schedule out there just yet for Liga MX Femenil.
Players don't know yet.
You're not just seeing it. It's not just Mexico, right? You're seeing these modifications being done for the women's side all over the world. EPL that we're just talking about, men's is still going. The women's had to pull it. They decided, you know what, it's best if we just don't play. And there's jokes about, like, you know, when Arsenal is playing super bad, like Viviane Madime, who's one of the greatest players, I'm probably mispronouncing, I'm so sorry, her name, she plays for Arsenal, probably one of the best players in the women's league, you know, like her salaries could, like, they could have, like, taken off David Luiz and paid, like, for the whole team or something, you know. NWSL is playing this small Challenge Cup tournament, and then there's no more season. MLS is playing this tournament that they're playing right now, and they're still, for some, you know, in some way, which is kind of up in the air right now, but they're still going to continue their season, right? So you're seeing all these modifications happen all over the world for the women's side, which is unfortunate, but it's obvious where the priorities are. It's obvious where the financial priorities are, and I don't agree with it, but it's like they can't deny it at this point. It's just how it works.
Players don't even know when they're going to start talking close to some of the players. I'm like, hey, have they told you just off the record? Nope. So it's kind of like, all right, when's it going to happen? So hopefully in the next few weeks. I think they're going to postpone it, continuing it. It's like, I feel like unless they have to, they're pressured just because of the way that things are, and hopefully not. There's a lot of players that are willing, they're wanting to play right now.
Hopefully they're smart and they do something that the NWSL, I mean, I obviously wouldn't be opposed to a tournament, a mini tournament. Like, hey, we can't give the women a full tournament or a full season, but we'll make like a tournament-esque, like, mm-hmm. NWSL, get them on maybe a paywall, or I don't know, through the internet. I know there's, like, you know, with teams and stuff, but something to that nature. You're already seeing the numbers in the NWSL and the ratings and the excitement of the games compared to other tournaments. Like, I could imagine something like that happening for the Liga MX Feminine too, if they were actually willing to do it.
And they started off, I mean, the way the Liga MX Feminine started, it was through a tournament too. And I thought that was successful. I thought that was definitely a pretty good tournament to kick off Liga MX Feminine. So, you know, and this kind of like unprecedented time, you know, why not try that again? You know, so I would be a big fan of that if they could set that up.
And you just see the grassroots efforts. I mean, you see the NWSL fans just getting so excited and supporting the, I mean, I definitely enjoy it because it's women's soccer, right? I can see tenfold, but I can see that same kind of energy from all the fans for the Liga MX Femenil too.
Yeah, bring back the Copa MX Femenil.
Yeah, why not? I don't care. Like, give it. Me women's soccer in Mexico.
I like it. Scheduled out for men's. All day, I mean, every single day there's going to be some soccer for a month. It's going to be Thursday, one game on Thursday, two games on Friday, three games on Saturday, two games on Sunday, one game on Monday. And that's how the league is going to do the jornadas every week. So potentially, have we even talked about when we're going to record the Mexican Soccer Show, guys?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I forgot to send a message.
Cesar is a good student because he was already talking about this to me earlier today.
Yeah, I was thinking about
it. How am I a bad student? We're not talking about it.
Wow, nobody's even talking about you. I was saying Cesar's a good student. It's nothing to do with you. Talking about Cesar. Cesar, you were talking. Continue, please.
So are we just going to record, should we record the pods on, let's say, 4 a.m. on Sundays? Does that work for you guys?
That actually works perfect for me. I would wake up at 3:30 because the kids are sleeping.
4 a.m.?
You would wake up at 3:30. You go to bed at 3:30.
I wake up at 7 a.m. now for work. Like, it's part of the hustle. And if it means the kids are guaranteed to be asleep, yes, I would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Put on some EPL in the background. We can watch if there's any early games. We got Raul Jimenez. We figured it out, guys. This is what we're doing.
I'm done hosting.
No, but I guess yeah, I guess going back to the schedule, I guess going back to the schedule, yeah, it's Thursday through Monday most weeks. I think there'd be a couple. It's gonna be Friday through Monday, but still, that is much more spread out than usual. And yeah, there's nothing official just yet when it comes to second division, but a lot of reports are saying that the redeveloped Mexican second division is supposed to have midweek games. So in theory, Mexican soccer every day, guys. I'm down for that. I'm excited. I'm still self quarantining, so I've got a lot of free time. I don't know about you.
I just thought about this. What about the Liga MX pod? You gotta do Wednesday.
Yeah, I think we're
deciding to do it on Wednesdays once it starts.
Yeah, I think we're gonna try to do Wednesdays. Yeah,
because it's not like there's a game going on and you're already talking about the preview. So, man, it's funny how you're just kind of like, okay, let's. Here comes the schedule, and our Liga MX doesn't care. Now everybody's just gotta cater to that.
Yeah. I mean, do we
wait till Tuesday for the Mexican soccer show and win? You know what? Let's just combine them again.
It's obvious, right? If there's Mexican soccer every day,
Mexican soccer show.
Every hour.
So we're going to be calling the games on the Mexican soccer show. Yeah, Andy's on.
This is our chance to have like subpar graphics and just like 24-hour news outlet all the time, every day.
You just log into our YouTube channel and we're talking about something. It's kind of like CNN and Fox News, but just for...
Oh, you could have just said the first one. God.
CNN's pretty crappy, too. Oh, they're both bad.
There's nothing like being oversaturated by this news, like in a place where like your parents are always watching the news. It's so bad. Yeah, they're both terrible.
All right.
So it starts July 23rd. Playoffs are gonna kick off November 21st. Also interesting. I mean, I brought up earlier. I think there are two interesting things that stand out to me. The first thing is that all the Clásicos are either on or after Week 11. So I think Liga MX teams are hoping that things get better by then, COVID wise, so they can have fans show up to those Clásicos. Whether that's safe or not, I mean, probably won't be safe, but we'll see what happens by then.
I'm telling you, don't make plans for this. I still think it's not going to happen at the end of this month.
Or if you're listening to this pod, just don't go to any soccer games, please. I was watching some like USL over the weekend. There's like hundreds, like thousands of fans in games, and just like what?
Wait, there's
any local soccer till the end.
There's fans already in the games?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like Louisville?
It's because they opened a new stadium. So they allowed a bunch of fans. And then over in San Diego versus Real Monarchs, I think there was about like 500, 600 fans. I mean, I know that doesn't seem like a lot. That's still like 500, 600 people congregating. Not a good idea. But anyways, back to the League of Vikings schedule. So playoffs November 21st. The other thing that stood out to me is that there's space for international games. Their FIFA dates left open in the second week of October, and the final week of the regular season is going to be in the second week of November. So maybe there's a chance we might see some Mexico games by October. We'll see. I have no idea, but I think that was the other thing that stood out to me is that there's still two FIFA dates open in the Liga MX schedule. Obviously, nothing's been set up officially just yet with El Tri, but maybe we'll see some games then.
Amy, are we going to go to that game?
What? You can go. I'll edit from... I work remote now, so you can just send me the video. Well, this is the thing about
lies.
Those kinds
of... You're such a liar. You're going
to want to
go.
Look, would I want to go? Yes. But there's so many... It's just... There's... Like, we're seeing Europe now opening up their places, and... You know, like, they followed the rules. Like, the crazy thing about this is that we can't trust other people to follow the rules here. Like, I am at my wit's end at home, but I will stay here for as long as possible if it was guaranteed everybody else would stay in their homes and we could go back to enjoying sports and traveling and all that stuff. Like, but even now, like, I think I said this to both of you guys at some point. Like, I've already called the year. At this point, like, I've accepted that this is how it's going to be for the rest of the year. Like, I'm not optimistic about the ability to just get it together before October right now. It's just too hard. Speaking of the Liga MX, though, Cesar for Xolos, like, have they said anything or is it too soon? Because I know the schedule
it's too soon. It's too soon. I mean, that's something that's be interesting to see how different Liga MX teams approach this, because I imagine it might be kind of a state-by-state situation because of the stoplight system that they have in Mexico. So maybe some Liga MX teams might be able to have fans at some point. Maybe some others won't. But as of now, I mean, Tijuana is still, you know, and just Baja California in general is still a hot spot. And I can't imagine they're going to be allowing anybody at any point soon. And even if they do allow press, I mean, I'm still uncomfortable with the idea of going in. Because Sandy, I mean, if we're talking locally about local soccer, San Diego Loyal, I mean, you know, credit to them for doing their best to kind of go through the right protocols and whatnot. But I mean, they sent me an email asking if I had any interest covering, you know, this game, this upcoming game in San Diego this Sunday. And it's just unsafe, you know. It's just unsafe. And even in October, if it's, you know, as much as I love to watch Mexico, you know, I'm not gonna risk myself to watch Mexico versus Trinidad and Tobago or something, you know. Like, I'm not, even if it's a Mexico versus, you know, United States, like, World Cup qualifier, like, I just wouldn't risk it, you know. It just seems it's really, really far down the line. Maybe things will change significantly by then, who knows. But it's so risky. I can't imagine myself covering that, even if there are no fans.
Really, we sound in the middle of recording, really.
Gas tight chemical protective clothing connected antivirus clothing protective clothing jumpsuit. It's only $265.78.
Is that technically a tax write off because it's work related?
Of course it is.
H&R Block's like, okay, mileage. Okay, yeah. Okay, no, I see that. Oh, well, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was last year. What's this? What's this?
It's true. This is work related. And there you go, Amy. Look, doing gas tight. We can all go to a Mexico game wearing this. And we should be good.
You had some really ridiculous ideas. This is by far the most ridiculous idea you had.
I just want you to go to a game this year.
Yeah, but we'll see where we're at by October. We'll see, you know, what World Cup qualifying is going to look like, because I mean, the head of CONCACAF has already said that, you know, things are going to change when it comes to the hexagonal. You know, it's going to change. So, it's still ridiculous to think that we also still have Nations League matches to go through too. You know, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens. But at the very least, there are two FIFA dates open in the middle of in the middle of League of Mega season. The second one is right after the end of the regular season, so you'll have a little bit of a break before the playoffs.
What's gonna happen though when like more players test positive? Because I mean, we were all like, we were all something bricks because Mazatlan like tested positive, and then they went ahead and played their game against Chivas. Like, it doesn't feel like we haven't heard anything yet, right? But what happens if like a Chivas player is now infected? Like, that's my whole thing about this. Like MLS has had to cancel certain games or postpone certain games. Like, I can't imagine for the scheduler for this, right? Like, if something goes off the rails or something ends up not working out the way it's supposed to, like, it could obviously have impact for like the future of this tournament or the season.
That's my worry too. I think the only thing, I mean, I'm far too positive about everything, you know, and I'm like, the only thing that kind of like makes me feel positive is maybe once League of Mega season starts, they would take this a little bit more seriously. And I feel like the reason why Mazatlan versus Chivas still went ahead, even though it was three positives the day before the match for Mazatlan players. The only reason that went ahead was because it wasn't League of Mega sanctioned tournament. It's basically a preseason friendly, which is a tournament that's through the end is running. So hopefully if this were to happen once the Liga MX season starts, maybe Liga MX would have a much different protocol and wouldn't allow the game to happen. Maybe they would delay the game. Maybe I feel like maybe they would have to learn the lessons and see what other leagues are doing and kind of build upon that. Right. I mean,
I think the issue at hand is that other leagues are having it work because their government actually followed medical advice and like followed the, you know, what was being guided by the healthcare workers. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it last time, right? The unfortunate situation is that the financial connection is too much. You can't completely stop everything in order for things to get better here in the U.S. and in Mexico. So you're going to be at risk. where, like, even, like, we're talking about, you know, MLS and all that stuff, like, you're still, or even the NBA, if we're going to get even more, you know, kind of that way, somebody just came out of the bubble to pick up food, and now they're going to have to be quarantined again. Like, there's so many different variables that you can't control about this that are, you know, it could bring the whole thing down.
Yeah, and I think, and what's unfortunate too is just that I just hope that Liga MX team, let's say they do go through the right protocols for players, let's say they actually deal with it safely, you know, what worries me is that they're going to want to open up the stadiums too early, just because of the money that's lost, you know, per game. As I mentioned, different episode, I think from what I saw, it's like most Liga MX teams make between... I saw some reports, like it was between, like, depending on the size of the team, the stadium, but it's like between like 400,000 to like a million or a little over a million per game in just in, you know, tickets, you know, per match. And that's a lot of money to be lost. So I'm hoping that these teams don't open the stadiums too early, you know, and that's a big, big worry of mine.
Just go back to the meme, like the Mean Girls meme. Quit trying to make Liga MX happen. It's not gonna happen.
That's the unfortunate thing, though, is that, like, I mean, I'm a soccer writer. I love soccer as a fan, but you have such contrasting feelings now about this sport that you love, because if it were up to me, there would be no MLS, would be no Liga MX, there would be no sports at all, with at least in the near future, you know. And it
except
feels
for marble racing. Except for marble.
Whoa, hey, you know what? Green Ducks better do a much better job, because they've been struggling. And I really wish I would have chosen the O-Rangers when it comes to the Marble League. But, I mean, I guess that's for a different podcast.
Is that from that video?
The Marble League? Oh, dude. It's legit, man. It's legit.
Oh,
gotta get on that.
Go Green Ducks. But yeah, but it makes
no
you feel...
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
but it makes you feel...
I was not in a production notes.
But it's just like... I don't know. It's just it's difficult to be excited to watch soccer at the same time, also feeling frustrated that it's back, and it's tough. It's tough. And I'm not even a player. I'm not even out there, you know, risking myself. I'm not even a member of the staff or member of the coaching staff that's out there, you know, taking these chances. You know, I'm feeling uncomfortable with this, and I'm saying this from the safety of my home. You know, I can only imagine if you're an actual employee of these teams, you know, or if you're an actual player.
This kind of brings us to one of the points that we were going to talk about. Are people excited that Liga MX is back? Because for kind of looking at ratings, you know, Cesar and Amy, we were kind of talking about a couple of days ago where we were expecting the ratings for the first games in the Copa por México, and they weren't that great. Like, are people really excited that it's back? And I thought, since there was no soccer, you know, that people are watching in Mexico... and in the U.S., you know, the NWSL started and MLS started, that we would be thinking that these Copa por México games would have been a little bit more, you know, a lot of people were watching these. But it's a little low on the ratings. We got to wait for this week's ratings to see if they're that high.
Well, I think that there's nothing really at stake. And you guys made the jokes earlier where it was kind of like the Liga MX. I mean, obviously it's not, because actual players are playing, right? But there's just like nothing to gain from this, right? There's no, like, MLS, the MLS is back tournament. Points are going to factor into the season. Whoever wins it gets a spot in the Champions League. NWSL, this is basically it, right? So people are taking it in as much as possible. Like, what is the Copa por México? It's just a preseason to help, you know, put together for not to judge, right? There's a certain factor that was brought on to bring this 2-week tournament together that isn't really worth anything. And from a certain point, like we were talking about previously, it's just putting players at risk, right? Like, like Tom just released it, tweeted it out. Trophies is negative, so he's able to play again. But there's that, you know, there was him not being part of the game because there was a chance his girlfriend might have gotten it and things like that. Whereas I think once the league starts, there's still going to be that risk and people are still going to be nervous, but there's something to watch. Like, it's worth watching because there's something at stake. So I feel like that's a contribution to the ratings being so low too.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying. Yeah. I have, like, I view it from either two different, like, perspectives. Like, perspective number one is, yeah, this is pretty bad, you know, for Liga MX, at least. If it was, if this was MLS, Twitter wouldn't stop talking about it. But but Copa por México, Pumas was Cruz Azul. That was the highest rated one. It was 526,000. After that, América Toluca was 319,000. Then we saw 263,000. So that's not good for... Liga MX East in general. But would we say that that's actually, those are actually very good numbers for preseason games? For, let's, I mean, we're calling it the Copa Bermeja. We recognize it's a tournament that Tulane are doing, but if this is preseason, could we say that those numbers are actually pretty good? The fact that a preseason game was the third most watched.
But it's not necessarily preseason though, because preseason like has nothing to do with the season. These are people. These are actual games that, I mean, it's a tournament. I get.
This has nothing to do with the season either. It's not even the full. It's not even the full teams from the league.
But it's not necessarily preseason. This is like a Copa. This is like a, you know, the side tournament that they go to. This is like, you know, it's not necessarily preseason where you're like where you expect these guys not play that well. And
here's the thing, there's like I would love to say that it's a little bit more serious, but reality is like when you watch the games, it's like you sometimes see coaches make 11 subs at halftime, and when you see that, you're like, all right, you know maybe these coaches don't exactly see this as a serious tournament either. You know, when you see, you know, a significant amount of players that you don't recognize, a lot of young players you don't recognize. I mean, I'm happy they're getting minutes. I'm definitely happy, especially since it'll be tough the next season for them to get minutes. But when you see a lot of these, you know, three-digit jerseys, you're thinking, you know what, maybe this isn't... you're thinking, like, maybe this isn't as serious as I thought it was going to be. So
I'm not as excited.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's because my team's not on there, so I'm just gonna let's see.
You have the Copa del Sol or whatever that's about to start, right?
Whatever. No, and it's true. I think that's what it is too. You're just I just thought that because it was, you know, nothing happening for a while, that all these ratings went everywhere, and I could see, you know, you mentioned it, Amy, NWSL. This is it. So everyone is like, this is legit. You know, and then everything else, you know, everything was happening with MLS and the bubble and all the craziness, some players not playing, some players playing. And then now, you know, we're kind of getting these. We're going to have a Clásico Nacional, and it's, you know, with Chivas.
Ratings will be good. I think those ratings are actually
going
to be good.
If Chivas beats América, it's going to be a huge, I hope it's a huge deal. Or is it going to be like, well, it's just this little tiny tournament?
No, I think now in the knockout round, it's going to be a little bit bigger deal because of the teams associated, you know, because it's going to be Tigres versus Cruz Azul, because it's going to be Chivas versus America. I think those two semifinal matches of the tournament are going to get a lot more attention.
Awesome. Quick plug, now Wednesdays, Liga MX Mexican Soccer Show, special show dedicated all to the Liga MX League. And Cesar, you'll be hosting it the last 2 weeks. Little fun now project that we have here at the Mexican Soccer Show, and you now host the show. So I know you had Amy and then Mr. Ivan, right?
Yeah, from the Eagle Eye podcast. Yeah.
Podcast. So every week, either one of us or a guest will be coming on and talking about the Liga MX. So hopefully, it's I think it's exciting to just full hour of Liga MX for you guys.
Yeah. And then this week, we're going to probably have a Friday episode because we want to review the Copa por Mexico semifinals. And seeing as though they're on Wednesday and Thursday, we'll have a Friday podcast. But like you said, I think, we're going to aim probably going forward just for Wednesday podcast. But either way, I mean, like I was saying, just on the podcast, that's two episodes of the Mexican Soccer Show per week for everyone out there.
Add in a Mexicans Abroad show sometime in there, and we can have three.
Hey, we did say earlier that we're going to have an episode every hour. Okay. Just a continuous stream.
24 hours.
A continuous stream. It's just
all the time, every day. Ollie will be on it at some point too, just talking nonsense.
Ollie can have his own show. He can have his own show.
No, don't do that to him. He already has a big head.
All right, continuing with the... Let's see, what's the production's telling me that we should keep going. We could talk about Copa por Mexico. Obviously, we already did. There's Mexicans Abroad coming back to Araujo de Valencia? What? What was that? Yeah. Cesar? Rumor? Or is this like, we want Araujo to do well.
Well,
we've
known that Valencia are looking for another central defender. They were linked to Cesar Montes for a little bit. So, I mean, if you believe Transfer Market, both Cesar Montes and Araujo have around the same price tag, so why not go with someone like Araujo, who's more of an established La Liga player, you know? So, and we've talked about this in the pod, how we, I don't think he's given enough credit. So I hope this happens. I think it'd be a good step up, but obviously just rumors for now. But yeah, hopefully we get to see Araujo play for Valencia in the near future.
Cool. I know also Chucky gets some minutes, not scoring, but coming in as a sub. Gattuso giving him more.
Yeah, it's looking good. I mean, I think he sees him as more of an impact sub, so I doubt he's going to get any starts at any point soon, at least before the end of the season, but it's looking good. You know,
it's a lot better than when we were talking, like, maybe a month, right? I mean, when he was
in games,
and so
he's looking more confident, too, and I think that's definitely important. Yeah. So whether he stays with Napoli or whether he makes a move to a different club, I think it's looking pretty good right now for Chucky.
And then lastly, another one of Mexicans abroad, a player, one of the first players in Mexico to play for Barcelona, for Atletico Madrid, and now Real Madrid Femenino, Kenty Robles, historic player for the national team, has played in the Europe for the last 13 years. And today was announced by Real Madrid Femenino that Kenty Robles will be joining, be a part of the defense, and just a huge, huge news that's kind of going around Mexico. And all over social media. I was a bit part of the digital team that released it, and I have not stopped working just from getting requests to all these cool projects that we're doing with Kenty Robles. So, Amy, how big is this news? I mean, Mexico to Real Madrid, but at the same time, in what Kenty's stood for in Europe and the teams that she's played for, and how well she's her career, you would think, you know, what's another step up from Atletico Madrid with winning 6 championships? And it's the only player in Mexican soccer history that's won 6 championships in Europe. To you, the news, how'd you take it?
I mean, it's fantastic news. And I think the Mexican women's soccer fandom community says she's up there with just, if we're going to talk about Mexicans abroad making a name for themselves, she has to be up there. She has to be part of that conversation. You know, she's at Real Madrid. I will say, though, Real Madrid, way to butcher the announcement, by the way. So for all their players, like, they're next to a doctor with masks. Like, you guys could have done more. Like, I mean, there were plenty of different players from different communities that were like, I think there's like one U.S. She's like a hybrid. She's like American something, right? She's like, people were ecstatic for her too, but their own announcements were more of announcements than what the team did. So I think that's like already kind of not a failure, but just like it's setting the bar really low for what Real Madrid, women's team could have done.
11 p.m. Spain time is when they release this information. Yikes. About the players. And it was supposed to be later on during the week because, we were getting prepared for the marketing jersey for everything. And all of a sudden, I think Melissa, I saw that tweet. I'm like, oh, my gosh, they just released the names. Here we go. We have press releases and blah, 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 blah. And it's a nightmare. It's a mess. But, hopefully the news is out there. And it's pretty cool because one of my images, instead of the Real Madrid official images, one of the images that I did is being used all over the world for it. because we were able to put, a decent image together, not just some, random Photoshop one. But hopefully Real Madrid's not listening to this. We'll see how that goes. The big news, so that's kind of cool. Only the third player ever in the history of football to play for those three teams. There's two other players that played for Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, and Real Madrid. So I think
hopefully,
cool.
Hopefully there's not too much hatred from those other fans, and especially because obviously there's a little bit of a rivalry right there. So
we kind of saw that, right? Because there was already stuff to come. I remember, Amy sent me this message, kind of like, Kenty went out the back door or anything like that. But I think with women's soccer is a little bit different. It's that she is taking whatever is hers. She's not going to go a loyalty where, I can't play for her other rival. No, I think women's soccer, it's all about that. Yes, there is a rivalry there, but everyone goes, dude, go ahead and take it,
who's going to say no to Real Madrid?
Yeah.
Men or women, so.
Well, in I don't know, maybe in men's, it's like, I don't know, there's something.
We'll see if Raul Jimenez says no to Real Madrid. Am I right?
But he wasn't like a big Atletico Madrid. Like, I'm sure he'd be like, heck yeah. I mean, Hugo Sanchez played for Atletico Madrid, and then he played for Real Madrid. So.
Oof, they hate him. Did you see that? What is it? At the new stadium for Atletico, I guess it's not too new anymore, but they have little plaques of all the different players. But apparently, the one for Hugo Sanchez is defaced every now and then. Yeah, I remember hearing that just because they hate the fact that he left and went over to Real Madrid.
The only time I ever felt that is when a person that I hated came to my team, and that was Landon Donovan.
I was going to say.
It's kind of the opposite. It's not like I hated when they left. I hate it when they came to my team. So I can't really experience that or anything. But who's your favorite player that leaves one of your teams and goes to the rival team? Would you? I don't know. I guess. I mean, wow, do you bet out to play for both? There's many players that have played for both. Yeah. I think it only gets to like the River Boca. Like that's one of those like you do not play for the other team. And I think there's a couple players that actually did anyway.
I think my dad's still bitter about Ramon Ramirez playing for a short while. he's probably still bitter about that.
All right, guys. What else in the Mexican soccer scope of things?
I think we got to bring up.
Doing so bad.
he missed a penalty. He's looking.
And every then time, he missed one like right in the middle of the box. He just sailed it over. It was. It's not going good. Let me see. I'm just seeing the replays on my end because I can't go to the living room.
Yeah, it's looking. It's 0-0 right now. It's 58. Every time I look over to my phone because the game's streaming right now, he's just looking frustrated, which has continued from his last game, which I guess it was his first game at home for the Galaxy. Every time you saw him out there, he just looked so frustrated out there. And obviously, missing a penalty is not helping.
It was he also got read like a book on that PK. Like
Chicharito misses PKs. It's like I felt like I took a PK when I was in the ninth grade.
Look, people were, at least from like the journalists and stuff from the, you know, from the LA Galaxy community, were like, okay, look, we haven't played since March, you know, just don't start already with this hyper, I mean, people are going to do it anyway, but hyper sensationalized, like, oh, he hasn't shown up for Galaxy, blah, 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 right? We have all this time. And like, now he's missing, like he keeps missing. Like every time I look at my timeline, it's just Chicharito missing. So not going good for him.
Is Ollie even angry about that?
Ollie, can you tell us what you're angry about Chicharito?
Ollie, are you mad about Chicharito?
No. Okay. There you go. It's
there we go. Reason. Yeah, the there we go, Ollie. I like it.
Ollie also doesn't like soccer. Don't trust his judgment on this.
All right. Guys, it was an entertaining Mexican soccer. If you made it this far, I'm going to thank you for it's sometime when Tom and Adana are not in it. When it's just Amy says Saturday night, we might, you know, talk about things
that are
not
soccer. You back?
And yeah. Ollie says his last year he's back, so
we should have Ollie close it out.
Ollie, no. Close it out, Ollie.
No, he's gone. He already left. He's good. Man. Hey, it wasn't that bad. So that's not how I could talk. It's fine.
No, I never said it wasn't bad. It's just funny how we just. Tom would already be like, guys, let's move on.
I like to ebb and flow from both styles. It's like, all right, If Tom's on the pod, then I'll try to make more jokes. If Tom's not there, it's like, oh, I guess I can't make as many jokes. I don't know. I feel like I try to like balance it out.
You notice he doesn't say good stuff anymore?
Yeah, it's because we gave him so much of a hard time about that.
He's a dad now. He can't say those things anymore. He's going to say great stuff.
Oh, great stuff. All right, guys. Thanks again for listening to Mexican Soccer Show. Tune in for Liga MX Mexican Soccer. Is there a name for it?
It's the Liga MX Preview.
The Liga MX Preview Mexican Soccer.
Guess what it's about.
Liga MX. Okay, I think we got it. And yeah, guys, thanks a lot. And we'll continue to give you all the news and all the rumors and all the drama and all the craziness in what is Mexican Soccer Show. Hasta la próxima.